I want to welcome everybody to Whiplash Talk. This is your host, Sunshine, and I am so excited that you guys are joining me here today. I am live coming at you. We have a very special guest with us today that I'm so excited to introduce to you. I want to read a little bit of his bio, and I bet a lot of you will know who he is before I even start it, but I am going to say his name at the very beginning, and you guys will be like, what? So today we have with us J.J. Carroll. He is a retired U.S. Border Patrol agent with a 24-year career, culminating as a deputy patrol agent in charge in the San Diego sector. He began as a journeyman agent and supervisor on the San Diego-Tijuana border, one of the most volatile regions during his tenure. Carroll also led an ATV unit and later created a coastal border enforcement team, which they call a CBET or CBET, a highly successful maritime unit that intercepted numerous Sinaloa cartel narcotic and human smuggling operations. Notably, one of his agents testified in the conviction of Joaquin El Chapo Guzman. I am going to ask J.J. Carroll a little bit about that, but let me continue. Carroll is a very vocal critic of U.S. immigration policies inherited by the Trump administration, arguing they intentionally undermine national sovereignty. He has authored two best-selling books, which we'll talk about today. The first one is called Invaded, The Intentional Destruction of the American Immigration System. And Treason is the second book, The Biden Administration's Strategic and Malicious Destruction of America's Sovereignty. He's produced documentaries, including What is Treason and Trafficked. He frequently speaks on border security, child trafficking, and government corruption, appearing on platforms like Fox News, Newsmax, and national radio shows. Carroll also runs a Substack, Border Truth, which I love, and hosts Truth with J.J. Carroll, a conservative news show. J.J., it is truly an honor to have you join us today on Whiplash Talk. Are you there?
I am here. Thank you so much for allowing me to come talk about this topic, because I believe this topic is the greatest threat to the security of our sovereignty.
I agree. And thank you for agreeing to come and join us. We've never talked before. We didn't know each other before I reached out and said, hey, I really want you on my show. And he was like, I'm in. And so we really want to start talking about, I want to focus on your books, but there was something that came out in the news really recently. And it has to do with the conviction of, and if I'm pronouncing it wrong, I'm not a Spanish speaker, Joaquin El Chapo Guzman.
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
Go ahead with the Sinaloa cartel.
Yeah.
I am from Texas. And I remember this. It was big. This was huge. So explain to me. I'm sorry. Keep going. Explain to me about this case.
El Chapo Guzman is the latest line of savage narco smugglers, and they are savages. They're demons. I have a buddy of mine that did the documentary with me, Ryan Matta, was just down in Tijuana with Oscar Blue, doing an expose on all the mass graves. And basically all of Mexico is a mass grave, shallow graves of cartel members whacking each other, killing each other. I arrested these savages my whole entire life. And one of the you mentioned I ran Coastal Border Enforcement Team. It's called CBET. I created it, and it's a one-of-a-kind, which is rare in any kind of business, but especially in law enforcement, very rare. So when we started to knock down and close down the border, because border walls actually work. So when we built our border wall in San Diego, we began to shut down all the human smuggling and narcotic smuggling routes. So the next egress, or the easiest way, was through the Pacific Ocean. And Border Patrol fell behind this curve, and we call them pongas, open bow Mexican fishing vessels. Think of a school bus hollowed out with three or four outboard engines on the back of that school bus, and you can put 30, 40 people in there, or you can put up to 10,000 pounds of narcotics. So when my unit, we would be on the land side with, we had these cameras called FLIRs, and FLIRs can see 7 miles into the darkness of the ocean. So we would see the pongas come in, start to line up and land. By that time, we had already seen all the load vehicles, all the drop-off mules to mule the narcotics off the beach up to the Pacific Coast Highway. So we begin to wait and line up for that. And we began to systematically, we got ahead of the information curve, and I built my unit up to 60 men plus National Guard. And through these FLIRs and becoming experts at it, we began to knock down all of his loads, all El Chapo Guzman's narco loads. And then one of my guys went and testified against him in his huge case and got him, helped convict him and secure a conviction. Now he's in a supermax in Colorado. When you begin to understand the narco smugglers, it's not a billion-dollar business. This is a trillion-dollar business. Trillion. Let me just give your audience some context. In the late 90s, the Arana Felix brothers ran the cocaine trade in Mexico. At that time, in the late 90s, early 90s, late 90s, it was $39 billion a year just on cocaine. So you can imagine with inflation and with the amount of narcotics being able to come across, we're in $1 trillion a year. And our border for the last 4 years before Joe Biden, when Trump took office, for four solid years, this treasonous group of people that ran the Biden administration left our borders 100% open, wide open. I don't think anybody understands how dangerous that administration allowed us. And now we're just sitting on a time bomb of 50 million illegal aliens inside the United States of America. 1 in 6 to 1 in 7 residents in America is now an illegal alien. No civilization in the history of mankind has ever overcome this demographic seismic shift and survived. Not one.
AJ, that is insane. You said 50 million, correct?
I did, and I would like you to give me, if you wouldn't mind, let me give you, you know, 1 minute to explain how I come to that number, because everything that I'm going to talk to you today about, everything I'm going to say is not hyperbole. I'm not trying to get clicks or sell an extra book. I'm a very honest man, and I will tell you what I know, and if I don't know, I will tell you. I'm not going to guess. I'm not going to make up numbers. What infuriates me throughout writing these books and doing documentaries and speaking to people is the people that do know the real number lie to you. The politicians lie to you. Fox News, with all their billion-dollar corporation, those morons can't even determine what the real number is. They're all over the place. And, of course, the politicians lie. Now, how do I get to a 50 million? And in my book, I write, listen, my whole career up from the beginning of 1997 when I worked in Imperial Beach up for a decade, all I heard was 5 million illegals, 5 million in our country. And I remember seeing thousands cross every day and thinking, that doesn't add up. How does this number stay the same? Well, overnight, literally, as I snap my fingers, overnight, after a decade, we went overnight from 5 million to 11 million. Wow. And I remember 11 million thinking that's still an absurd number. There's no way it's 11 million. But what it was, they were boiling us like a frog in warm water and killing us because we couldn't take the real number of tens of millions. Now, in 2018 and 2019, Yale and MIT, not two conservative bastions of thought, right, did a demographic study about how many illegal aliens are in our country. And in this study they published in 2019, they took all this demographic data, pushed it into an algorithm, and ran that algorithm 1 million times. And these IT nerds came out and said, the highest number is 29 million illegals live in America. And the average after a million tries was 22 million. And I sat back and I watched this study come out, and I watched everyone, all the politicians, all the media, all the liars grab on to 22 million. And they were like, 22 million is the number, 22 million. And the reason why is because they knew that America could not swallow 29 or 30 million. But for whatever reason, we could, and we doubled the number. So we doubled the number from 5 to 6 to 11. And then literally overnight, we went from 11 to 22 million in 2019.
Wow.
Now, 2019 is still Donald Trump. Right. Joe Biden takes office. I believe it's 30 million people came in the 4 years. Donald Trump now is saying it's 22 million. I know it's 30 million. However, I like to play the game that I'm crazy. I want to prove the point, meaning I'm going to use the government's data, the government that the left swears tells the truth. Okay, they're telling us the truth. Joe Biden's administration has openly admitted to allowing in 18 million people in 4 years. Mm-hmm. We're at 40 million illegal aliens in America. I'm telling you the number through my data, from my research, from CIS.org's demographic studies that are unchallenged, and everything I know, the number is over 50 million. But if you don't want to believe me, and you want to believe your government that has lied to you for decades, go ahead. They're admitting to 40 million people inside of our country are illegal aliens. Are you okay with that, America?
No, no. And it's so funny because in reading your books, I enjoyed both of them so much. It's kind of hard to say enjoyed. I enjoyed them, but they were gut-wrenching, to be honest, because it's like, how can we keep beating our heads against the wall? But I took that number. I took that 50 million number, and I went to my good friend, AI Grok, and I said, Grok, I need some help. And so I said, in a straightforward kind of combination of the major U.S. cities within municipal boundaries, not the metropolitan area, but the actual city limit boundaries, I wanted them to reach a population total near 50 million using the populations of cities from top to bottom. You have any idea how many cities it took me to get to 50 million?
Took you quite a bit. If you take it LA and New York, right?
Yep.
You're looking at about 15 million people there or 20 million yeah. max. And
yeah.
then down
yeah.
there. So now I can't imagine. I have to say, if I had to guess, say 30 cities.
50.
Wow.
It took me 50 cities. It started with New York at 8.1 million, and I'm just kind of rounding, but it goes New York, Los Angeles, Chicago, Houston, Phoenix, Philadelphia, San Antonio, San Diego, Dallas, Austin, Jacksonville, San Jose, California, Fort Worth, Columbus, Charlotte, Indianapolis, San Francisco, Seattle, Denver, Oklahoma City, Nashville, El Paso, Washington, D.C., that's not a city, Boston, Las Vegas, Portland, Detroit, Memphis, Louisville, Baltimore, Milwaukee, Albuquerque, Tucson, Fresno, Sacramento, and this is an order of population, Mesa, Kansas City, Atlanta, Long Beach, Colorado Springs, Raleigh, North Carolina, Miami, Florida, Virginia Beach, Omaha, Oakland, Minneapolis, Tulsa, Arlington, New Orleans, and Wichita.
It's staggering, isn't it?
It's staggering. And that was 49, 959, 259. And I'm like, when you said the number 50 million, I'm like, oh, that's a lot. But when I did this, I was like, I was taken back. I had no words. I'm like, that is staggering. Because if you take all of those cities and put all of that population together, where the freak are all these people going? And no wonder all of our cities are bankrupt.
Yes. And this becomes
staggering.
It's staggering, but I'm glad you put it into context like that. Cause I want your audience to understand the question that is never, and I answer this question in both my books, and I ask the question. Mm-hmm. It's a three-letter word no one wants to ask, and that's why. Why mm-hmm. would our government do this to us? Especially they've done it to us from the 1965 immigration bill all the way up until present day. But the last 4 years under Joe Biden, it was an absolute free-for-all where they just went, we have to shoot all of our wads right now, all of them. We got to shoot all of our ammunition and try to win this. Because I want your audience to understand the why. The why is because they wanted to fundamentally transform the United States of America. Not my words, theirs. And how did they decide they were going to destroy America? Well, they had to do that through a demographic upheaval. How do we know that this is what they planned? We're looking at just up even today, Donald Trump still signing executive orders, right? Signed mm-hmm. 200 of them so far, more or less. He didn't start crafting executive orders on day one of his presidency. He's been working on this for years, right? So Joe Biden did the same thing. And when I say Joe Biden, I'm not talking about the demented old bastard that he is. I'm talking about his administration, Anita Dunn's. So they crafted their Donald Trump trying to make America great again. Everything is about making America great, bringing in trade. Under Biden, they made a strategic and intentional decision to utilize illegal immigration to be the fundamental transformation change agent. How do I know this? Because on day one, I was sitting in my office as a deputy patrol agent in charge in a station in San Diego sector, and I watched 94 executive orders cascade down into my inbox on day one. Every single executive order destroyed, literally obliterated the most secure border in the history of America. I knew instantly at that moment the game has changed and America was under attack. In his first year, Joe Biden signed 296 executive orders, all on immigration.
Wow.
All on immigration. And he opened the floodgates to fundamentally transform America. Now listen, how do you change America? You're not going to convince me or people in your audience that you don't need the First Amendment. You don't need the Second Amendment. No, you're never going to convince us that we're a republic, that I have representative government. But if you give me 50 million peasants, and let's be very clear, and I'm not being mean, because I did this. I'm not some guy that watched from Washington, D.C. in some think tank. I was down on that disgusting, hopeless, violent, repulsive piece of land called the border for 24 years. I know exactly who's crossing the border. I know exactly who Biden led into office. And I'm telling you, the vast majority of these people are illiterate in their own language. They cannot read or write in whatever language that they have. They have no job skills. They have no critical thinking skills. In fact, I would say at least half of the people that I arrested did not know how to use a pen or a pencil. They could not make a mark for their name. I would have to do it for them. So when you bring in 50 million uneducated people, and then you begin to understand the birth rates of Americans, our American women are not reproducing at the replacement level, meaning we are dying. Then you bring in 50 million people that have a birth rate from 2 to 5 times that of the Native American births. You're looking at a ticking time bomb. This is nothing but a math problem right now, a bad math problem. And that's when I have this urgency, if you feel or hear this sense of urgency with Donald Trump. Sir, this deportation and arrest, daily arrest that you're touting as 1,000 to 1,500, it will take you over 100 years to deport these people. This is not sufficient. It's not good enough, and it's not effective. You need to be up at that range of 10 to 15,000 a day, or just give up and allow the Democrats to win, because this is the end game of the why, Sunshine. This is, I want everyone to understand, when this gets done, less than 5 years from now, there will be the 2030 census. And when the Democrats have already did lawsuit after lawsuit after lawsuit to ensure that every single person is counted, legal or illegal, when they count these, the low end of House seats that will flip to the Democrats will be 25. The high will be 62 seats.
Wow.
And as Elon Musk has said repeatedly on this topic, you will never, ever vote yourself out of this. You have now changed forever, America, and the Democrats will hold the House forever. What do we hold? A 4-seat majority right now? Can you imagine if we had a 60-seat majority? Can you imagine what we can do? Well, think about what the Democrats can do. And then there's one last piece of this puzzle of the demographics. Mm-hmm. Also, what will change, and you just listed all those cities. And as those cities begin to balloon with 50 million people, I would say at least 95% of those cities are inside of blue states. They will now reappropriate not only the House seats, they will reappropriate electoral college votes, and we will lose. We will forever be changed. And the Democrats, I will applaud them. They are malicious. They are evil. But they are determined, and they have done what they needed to do to set this plan in motion, and it is in motion right now. And I don't think America has any idea how much, I'm not talking about the rapes and murders and the pedophilia, child sex trafficking, and the drugs. the destruction of our social benefits, the money wasted, the trillions of dollars for illegal aliens. I'm not talking about any of that. I'm just talking about one thing. You're about to lose your country. You're never going to be a republic again because the powers to be brought in our replacements. Period.
Yeah. Period. And so with that, where do we go from there? I mean, like you said, we have to deport. We have to deport more. Our prisons aren't big enough. I'm hearing that certain prisons are being opened up again to hold and detain until they get mowed out, possibly. What are your thoughts? So if I came to you and I was President Trump and I said, I need you, go find 50 good men, how could you help? How could we make this right? How could we get America back?
If I was called, I have 100 men that I could call right now.
I'll give you 100.
And I'll get 100, and I want to put 2 in each state. And then states mm-hmm. like California, New York, I'm going to put more. And I'm going to mm-hmm. say, you now have the ability to deputize every state and local,
mm-hmm.
your sheriffs and your police. And then I'm going to nationalize the National Guard and or I'm going to send the military. I'm going to put the military in. I'm going to sign agents to, I mean, military people to you, special right. forces guys. And now mm-hmm. I'm going to systematically remove everyone from our country. And I'm going to set up gigantic 10, 15, 100,000 body tents all up and down the border. And I'm going to push all of these people down there, and then I'm going to deport them. I'm going to push a lot of them into Mexico. I don't care if they're Mexican or not. Mexico is not our friend. They allowed this to happen. They allowed everyone to travel from the 180 nations out of the 195 nations on planet Earth are in the Border Patrol arrest data. So I'm going to push them all back there. And I'm going to do everything I can to secure our border and remove these people. And I'm going to do it through special agents like they're doing now. Mm-hmm. I'm going to bring back retired sheriffs, retired federal agents, men like me that have ran large task forces. And then I'm going to eradicate our nation of illegal aliens. And I'm going to do what Donald Trump is also doing. You have, and he needs to come out and say, you have now 72 hours to remove yourself. If you do not, we are going to arrest you and we're going to tag you, and you're never going to be allowed to come back into America ever, ever again. And then we systematically go and we do it. Then we also tell all the states, you are now going to implement E-Verify. And if we find out that you are giving any aid, comfort to illegal aliens, we're going to remove all federal aid. Let me give you an example. California, mm-hmm. my state that I worked in, California is now tens of billions of dollars in the red. They are absolutely, their survival is absolutely contingent on federal money. If I was President Trump, I would say, you are going to stop your sanctuary cities. You're going to stop everything, or I'm yanking my money from you and California will collapse. California needs to collapse. Last year, they had to redo their budget because they gave $9.7 billion to illegal aliens for healthcare. Almost $10 billion for illegals. So
what are they doing for our veterans? I'm sorry, go ahead.
Nothing. No, they're doing nothing. But that's the totality of what has to happen. There needs to be an all hands on deck. This is a national emergency. We have the enemy inside of our country. I have gone through this in both books, and I will tell you this side for us, just so your audience understands. We have arrested in 4 years 200,000+ special interest aliens. Those are terrorists. I'm telling you, we have people that are connected to terrorism, at least 1 million. You are looking at least 100,000 PLA soldiers from China. Minimum. Yep. Minimum.
Not so, in Oklahoma.
Yes. Oh, well, so let's talk about Oklahoma just so your audience understands. Oklahoma is one of the major black market marijuana grows in the mm-hmm. whole nation. Red Oklahoma. Do you know who yep. runs almost every single of the 3,000 marijuana groves that have been identified in Oklahoma? Chinese nationals. Yep. Why? But why is that? I don't think people make the correlation. Why are the Chinese nationals, the PLA soldiers and all the illegal aliens, why are they running marijuana grows across America? It's very simple. It is a multi-billion dollar cash crop. So now the country of China does not have to send money into America. They are self-sufficient. They could buy arms, ammunition, homes, whatever they need through the sale of marijuana in America. That is how they're funding themselves. We are never been this vulnerable in the history of our country. And our own government, Republicans included, did this to us intentionally. They're trying to fundamentally transform us.
Yes. And you know what's really frustrating about that is everybody still feels that they're safe, that, you know, that we, you know, we've never been, quote unquote, invaded before. We'll let you talk about your book. We've never been invaded before. So we're safe. You know, we're here. We're the United States. And I'm like, you've got Middle America. China's here. I'm not talking your goods. I'm talking your military, their military. It's here. And so not only are they making the money to support them, but they're also here to do recon and travel and to learn everything about our transportation systems and our water systems and our power grids and how we operate and how our police operate. And they're doing recon right on the battlefield in broad daylight.
It's even worse than that. I mean, you look at, I wrote an article about this and I think I put it in my book. One of the admirals in the Navy said, mm-hmm. this was about 6 months ago, six, seven mm-hmm. months ago, said every single week a military installation is breached mm-hmm. by foreign nationals, either Chinese or men from Muslim nations across the globe. Every single week. And you don't hear anything about it. I'm telling you, the enemy is here in America and they have a standing army in America. Look, in my book, Treason, I write this chapter on the PLA soldiers and what the absurdity of what Joe Biden did, that Xi Jinping and his generals had to at some time think we're being hoodwinked. No way that America is doing this, meaning America opened their borders, allowed me to push in hundreds of thousands of our citizens, PLA soldiers. Not only that, we're going to feed them. As they come over, I'm giving them a brand new iPhone with all the cellophane on the wrapper. I'm going to give them a bank card with cash on it. Then I'm going, wherever the soldier wants me to take them, I'm going to pay for his ticket and fly him there. I'm going to give him an apartment or a house for free. I'm going to give him three meals a day. I'm going to do the same day laundry service. I know people won't believe this, but we have paying for same day laundry service for millions of illegal aliens every day. They're not going to have to work. All they have to do is go out and find their targets for when they get the green light to go. That is how treacherous, how much treason was committed by the Biden administration on the United States of America. It is unbelievable.
It is unbelievable. And I don't want everybody to think that this is that we're trying to do a downer. We're just trying to paint a picture to, like, say, you know, wake up, kind of like McFly, wake up, because it's real, and the battlefield is real. And I wanted to also, I want to interject here just for a second, and then we'll push it back to you. I believe we have a space force, and I personally believe we have that for a reason. And this is my belief. I'm not putting this on you, and you do not have to agree. But I don't think we have a space force just because we can fly around and go plant a flag on a moon. I believe that we have it there because there's a threat there as well. And so in that, I think it's above on the ground and below. You know, we've had the dumbs and, you know, with tunnels going everywhere, and I'm sure you've worked the border, you've seen tunnels. And so with all of that going on, you know, they come in through the north as well. And they, you know, it's very common that you see Chinese in, Chinese, you know, Liberation Army in Canada. And so we're getting it from both ends. We're getting it from both borders. So with that said, let's talk a little bit. This is so good, JJ. Let's talk a little bit about the child trafficking that you've encountered. Just so you know, my listeners know about child trafficking and DOMS and adrenochrome and military tribunals and Gitmo and Frazzle Drip, but they know. So you're okay to just let it fly. So let's talk about child trafficking a little bit, and then we'll go to treason.
Okay. I saw child trafficking when I was in the Border Patrol, and but nothing, absolutely nothing like this. I mean, I would chase people on the trails as they're trying to come north, and these illegal aliens. And just so we're very clear too, this idea that all cultures are the same is an absolute abomination lie. I watched people throw their kids and leave them on the trail so that I couldn't drive my ATV or I couldn't chase them because there was a little toddler there that I had to take care of. They don't care. They don't care. And then I saw the renting of children. So the cartels would have children, drug them up to the point where they can't even move. And they would just give them to some dude. And the dude would walk over the border and say, "This is my child." And because of President Obama's no separation of families insanity, we would let that man go with that kid, knowing that kid was not theirs. And then they would turn the kid over to the cartels, and he would just recycle the child back and rent him again. This is happening. But I never, ever, ever could have imagined what would transpire in 4 years under Biden. Have absolutely no idea. In fact, when I started to do my first documentary, I just wanted to do one documentary. But everything that me and my partner, Ryan Matta, uncovered was child sex trafficking. Everything tied back to the movement of children in the state of Texas, which is the largest purveyor of child sex trafficking. If you had to nail a state down, it's Texas. Don't tread on me and the Lone Star State. That's such a joke. Texas is the epicenter of all the evils on the border. And it's because they have the most gutless Republicans. I would rather take the Democrats in California, because at least I know what they're about. The Republicans in led by their governor, they're just a bunch of soft, impotent cowards. But what I discovered was shocking. The massive amount of children that were being trafficked through our government, and that I had to come back and I had to create two documentaries out of the footage. And my first documentary, What is Treason Trafficked? I asked everyone a question. And I'm talking about, I interviewed people that were trafficking the kids, the people that were the escorts, the people that chased and looked after the kids, the people that worked inside the government facilities that were moving the children. And I asked them one question after my interview, and my interviews would last an hour and a half to 4 hours, depending on who it was. And I would ask them, I would say, I have one question at the end, and all I want is a yes or no answer. And it's to a statement. And my statement is, the United States federal government is the world's largest child sex trafficking organization in modern history. I couldn't get history out of my mouth. And they were screaming at me, yes, yes, they are. And I'm like, and we, just to put in context, Donald Trump's last year in office was about 25,000 kids. Were brought in. It was so heavily regulated. There was DNA testing. There were sponsorship checks. There was after visits. It was all highly regulated. Under Joe Biden, first year, over 140,000 children. 140,000. You know what Joe Biden did? Because it was so many kids, they were stacking up. He abolished the DNA test. There was no background checks. We had no idea who we were giving these kids to. We were giving them away to the cartels. Now, fast forward to today. I went in front of Congress in November 2024 and testified. What a boondoggle. They don't want to do anything. I'm absolutely convinced that our, quote, leaders are the dumbest people in our society and or the most corrupt people in our society.
I think it's the second, but go ahead.
And my testimony was, there was 550,000 children brought over under Joe Biden's term. And you, the federal government, has lost all 550,000, not the 320,000 the Inspector General of DHS claimed in August 2024. And people said, oh, I think that's a little overstated. No, I'm telling you, it's all of them. Now, and people would say, well, that's a bold statement saying the federal government is child sex trafficking. Fast forward to 2 weeks ago, RFK Jr. is sitting in Donald Trump's giant cabinet meeting, and he says out loud, and I'm going to use his words, I'm almost going to quote him, HHS, Health and Human Services, is the principal vector, the collaborator, the main collaborator that traffic children into the United States for sex and for slavery. Then you fast forward one more week after that. RFK Jr. is now testifying in front of the senators, and he says the number of children lost is not 290 to 320,000. It is over 500,000 children are lost. And then he makes this statement, almost verbatim for my question I asked everyone I interviewed. And he said, the United States federal government is the largest child trafficking organization in history. And I'm like, finally, I am validated. Finally, I am vindicated of all these people that said all these rotten things and said that I was crazy. No, I was right. Do I want to be right? I wish I was wrong, but I'm right. And I want to go one step further. Mm-hmm. Those 550,000 children that are missing, the only reason we know that those children are missing is because we arrested them and put them in our database. I'm telling you that that number can be doubled, tripled, or quadrupled, because for 4 years, 80% of the southern border was completely unmanned. Any given day, 1,600 miles of the 2,000-mile southern border was empty. We never did that in 100-year history of the United States Border Patrol. So I'm telling you, I've seen the pictures of truckloads, busloads, kids in trunks of cars and vans coming through, and we're catching them. That was a fraction. We were catching about maybe 2% of the total population being smuggled. So we're looking at an insatiable appetite by the United States citizenry that loves to have sex with children. That's called rape. We are the number one consumer of child pornography in the world. We are one of the top nations on planet Earth that likes to pay money to rape children. We are the problem. If we really want to get down the nuts and bolts of it, Sunshine, it is not the cartels. The cartels are demons. I hate them. I fought them my whole entire life, and I would have no problem given the opportunity to join back and go down there and kill them myself. Mm-hmm. However, they are only supplying what we demand. Mm-hmm. That's it. Does Amazon, do you have packages of products from Amazon that you'd never asked for? No. You may strangely get a package that your neighbor's because there's a misplacement on one time a year, but you don't have packages stacked up on your doorstep of products you didn't order. Why are the cartels pushing children over into America, pushing hard narcotics, pushing cheap labor? Why are they doing that? Because we're demanding it. We are ordering it. America's the problem. We're not the shiny city on the hill anymore. I'm talking about a man myself that is an extreme patriot, but I'm a realist and I'm honest. I believe in MAGA, Make America Great Again. But if you look at that slogan, you have to understand you are agreeing that America's not great right now. And it's not. We are the problem in the world. We are. America's the problem. We're the number one exporter of pornography in the world. Did you know that? United States of America.
Only because I read your book. Yeah. I am in agreement with you. It's kind of funny because, you know, everybody for years, other countries have said, you know, America's a big bully. And we as Americans, we're all puffed up and haughty and like, we are not, we're the savior. And, you know, we're the best and we're number one. And then all of this starts coming out and all this disclosure starts coming out. And it's like, it's disgusting. And I guarantee you that children that are coming across the border are probably immediately put into tunnels and sent off to other areas or flown to other areas. It's a big business and it's disgusting.
Well, here's the thing. Let me ask you this question. I ask people, and then when they say, well, I don't believe you that the kids are lost. And I say, okay. Have you ever seen kids roaming around? And they're like, what do you mean? Well, they can't find them. The federal government says they can't find them. So have you seen large groups of kids roaming around Atlanta or Boston with dirty clothes and dirty faces and their malnutrition? Have you seen that? And they're like, no, of course not. I said, okay, then where the hell did 550,000 kids go? Right. Where are they? should be able to go to, say, Boston, where probably 10,000 kids were delivered. And I could go and go to their school district and say, pull up all these kids. I want to see their grades and I want to see where they're at. Well, we don't have them. Mm-hmm. Well, why don't you? Well, we don't know. They never went into school. Our government smuggled children into major cities and towns across America. Let me give your audience, in my documentary, I interviewed multiple people, but two people specifically that didn't even know each other. And I asked them the same question. One was an escort that literally worked in all the child detention facilities in Texas. And he escorted people. He has a GED. I'm not knocking him. He's a mm-hmm. very smart man, but I wanted to tell you how much money we're talking about. He worked for 1 year and he was making $6,000 to $7,000 a week.
Wow.
A week. And I asked him, talk to me like I'm a skeptic. Tell me one story that will convince me that the federal government's trafficking children. He goes, okay. Every now and about once a month, we would get called. All the escorts would be called, all hands on deck meeting. And we would show up in Pecos, Texas at the giant child detention. It's like a giant FEMA camp, but filled with kids. And then we would be assigned kids, about 300 of them. And then we would get in buses. Then we would drive to an airstrip in El Paso. Not El Paso International Airport, an airstrip, undisclosed airstrip in El Paso. We would load up 300 kids into three separate planes. And then when we got on the planes, the order was the children and the escorts could not talk to the flight attendants or the pilots, and the flight attendants and the pilots can't talk to us. So we would fly in the middle of the night in silence. And then we would land in airstrips across America. Not international airports, undisclosed airstrips across America. And then we would load up our kids because there were buses and rental cars on the tarmacs waiting for us in the middle of nowhere. And we would load up our kids and we would deliver them. And I would deliver white kids to black families, black kids to white families, Hispanics to Asians, and on and on. And I said, I need you to tell me what you were doing. And he goes, I was trafficking children.
Mm.
Fast forward a month later, I'm talking to a man that runs a gigantic child rescue organization. And I ask him the same question. He's a former CIA special forces operator. Mm-hmm. And he says to me, I'll tell you one. And I'll never forget, my partner is filming. And he goes, one day I get this strange call that we have intel of two planes are going to land in Chattanooga, Tennessee on an airstrip. And they're going to have 100 children there and they're going to smuggle them. And we're like, that's absurd. But we go. And what do we see at 2 o'clock in the morning, far off in the horizon? We see in the middle of the night, two planes begin to descend and land. And there's two buses on the tarmac and they begin to herd them like cattle and push them into the buses as fast as they can. And they take off in the middle of the night. Now, what are the odds of two exactly different people seeing the exact same thing? This is absolute. Our federal government was trafficking children. And I'll go one step further.
Wow.
The people that I interviewed, the people that are military analysts, the people that are CIA, the people that are in the intel agency world said to me when I was diving into this topic, and I do not like this topic of child sex trafficking. It makes me nauseous.
Yes.
He said to me, several of these men said to me, you need to stop looking at this so myopically. And I'm like, I don't understand what you're saying.
Yeah.
And he says, well, you're looking at it from child sex trafficking. You need to add in organ harvesting and you need to add into child sacrifice. And then they said something that really caught my eye, in my ear, and made me go, I didn't think of it this way. And he says, why is nothing being done, JJ? Why? He says, because the congressmen, the senators, and the presidents with an S, many of them are pedophiles. And the ones that are not pedophiles know who the pedophiles are and they remain silent, and their silence makes them ability to be blackmailed and coerced. And that is what the currency is today. If your audience or anyone listening thinks that P. Diddy and Jeffrey Epstein is the only honeypots that are working in America right now, you are absolute a fool. Children are the currency to blackmail.
Yes. Yes. And it's made it into Hollywood. It's made it into the music arena. It's made it, it's infiltrated into our sports arenas. It is everywhere. It's disgusting.
Into our churches.
Yes. Yes, thank you. Yeah, thank you. It definitely into our churches with people that wear red shoes, but we won't get into that today. We've got probably about, let's say, maybe 10 minutes left. I'd like to, at the very end, I'd like to have just a moment of silence for all of the Border Patrol and National Guard and Coast Guard and all of that for Memorial Day at the end. So, can you tell us just a little bit? It's an overview of treason. You name everybody, you do not pull any punches. I'm sorry we didn't get to your book, but your second book. But I want to talk a little bit about treason. Can you give them a taste? And then
Yes.
I let them know that there's links on my show page where they can go and link to go get it on Amazon.
Well, when I finished my first book, Invade, it was my first book, and it's never been an author before, so it was tough because I had a publisher, and the publisher censored my book, and I had to take my rights back from a major publisher. It was my first time being censored, and it was shocking to see that up close. And I sat, but God did that for a reason, because he taught me how to self-publish. And then
Good.
I created, I sat down, I was like, okay, well, I can't let these 4 years just go, like, and have no one know what they did. What they did was treason. So I sat down, I wrote my second book, Treason. It became a bestseller on Amazon for over a month straight. And I'm very proud of that book. And why I'm very proud of this book is because when I was writing it, the same way I was writing Invaded, there were times, and I like to write at the middle of the night. So at middle of the night, I'd be writing, and I would stop and I'd reread what I wrote, and I would sit there in silence and think, no one's going to believe me. Nobody's, they're going to call me all these vile names. They're going to make fun of me. They're going to mock me. And I would just say, I don't care. This is the truth. And I would just start keep writing. And there were times I paused and I was like, I can't believe that our federal government got away with this. I can't believe they actually did this. And Americans are so gutless, so impotent, so fearful of losing their rightful place on social media that no one will even look at this. And then when I got done, and I got done my first, my, I got done at the my last chapter, I saved it to, I wanted to see what Donald Trump was going to do the first week or two. And I wrote my last chapter with him. And then I sat there and I watched, and you alluded to this earlier. I watched Donald Trump create Doge and allow Elon Musk to go through USAID and go into the NGOs. And every single thing that I wrote in my book, that at first people were like, that's crazy, was immediately validated by Donald Trump and Elon Musk through their discovery through Doge that yes, your federal government funded USAID by the tunes of over $100 billion to fund NGOs, international NGOs, to move 30 million people from across the globe onto the Mexican border. And then DHS through FEMA took all of our money, hundreds of billions of dollars, and moved those people from the border into the interior of America. Every single thing that I wrote in Invaded and in Treason is highly cited. And then everything I wrote has been validated. I don't take joy in that. The only joy, if you want to give a quotations around joy, that I get is that I'm professionally validated for speaking the truth and having the courage to speak the truth. But I spoke the truth plainly, and now it's indisputable that our federal government committed treason against the United States of America. And the last thing that has to happen, and I will be very honest with you, ma'am, and your audience, the last thing that has to happen is massive, massive arrest. And I don't believe Donald Trump will do it. I hope I'm wrong, but I don't think he'll do it. If I had 1 minute with Donald Trump, just 1 minute, and he said to me, listen, JJ, I'm a busy man. You got 1 minute. I would say, sir, here it is. You have to arrest all these people that committed treason. You have said it openly that they committed treason, so therefore there has to be arrest. Because, Mr. President, historians, 100 years from now, if you do nothing, you will just go into the dustbin of history of just an average, regular, do-nothing president. However, if you do what needs to be done, you will save our republic, and historians will put you on the same pedestal as George Washington, because George Washington was an indispensable man that created our republic, and you would be that man in history that saved our republic. It's your choice, Mr. Trump. You either go into dustbin of history, or you do what has to be done now, and people will ridicule you, call you all kinds of names. However, your name will be synonymous side by side with George Washington if you do what you must do. And I implore you, Donald Trump, President Trump, do what must be done. There are traitors inside of our government and outside of our government that must be held accountable. And I pray for you that you do it.
And I believe that he will. It may be behind the scenes and it may not come out until later, but that's where my hope has to stand, because it's a heavy situation. And my hope is that what's being done in secret will be brought to light. And I'm hoping that all of the flights that Monkey Works is pointing out that are flying to Gitmo, I'm hoping that a lot of that is taking place and a lot of things are being recorded for disclosure later, but hasn't been able to be disclosed yet. So that's my hope.
My God, you mentioned Monkey Works. I mean, can you imagine what he has uncovered about the Biden administration flying in millions of illegal aliens? Millions.
All over the country.
People have no idea what our government did to us. None.
No idea. And another place is for the people.space. I wanted to tell you something really quick and then we'll have to get off of here. But for the people.space, that's a really great non-mainstream media website that a lot of my listeners lean on. And there's one that's called Crimes Against Humanity, Dark to Light, and it's called TikTok. And it was posted May 21st. And the heading at the top says they're all gone, but the movie plays on. And it's a picture of everybody just being chummy, 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 chummy. And it's Barbara Bush and George W. Bush and Clinton and his faithful sidekick, Clinton, and Obama and Mike and Daddy Bush. And on the base of the picture, and I just thought it was so perfect for this, Donald J. Trump, his ex account at Real Donald Trump, in all capital letters, treason, exclamation point, exclamation point, exclamation point. And so I wanted to let you know that he's in line with you. He sees it too. So
if there is anybody that could do it, it's this man.
That I agree.
There is no other man that could pull off what is being done. There's not a Republican politician that could do this. He is a singular man of strength, and I applaud him. I am his biggest fan and supporter. I just want him to just pull the trigger on something I know has to be extremely difficult, but he's going to have to do it.
And hopefully, even if it's he's doing it and he's not getting the glory now or the acknowledgement now, I think eventually it'll come out. And that's just where I'm just going to have to put my faith. Thank you so much for joining me on Whiplash Talk. I think we gave him a little bit of a whiplash. What do you think?
I hope so. Thank you for giving me such a wide berth to be able to speak about a very tough topic. And we just scratched the surface.
And we did. They've got to go get the books. And you've got great podcasts. And Border Truth is a great, I call it a newsletter. It's an email that comes out. It's fabulous.
Thank you.
So I wanted to say, with it being Memorial Day weekend, a lot of times the focus is on the military, but I have always looked at my border. I was born and raised in Texas. I was in the Panhandle, but it's still Texas. And I've always looked at the Border Patrol and, you know, the U.S. Customs Border Patrol, ICE, as a part of, you know, the National Guard and the Coast Guard and all the military. And so I know dead air on a radio is taboo, but I just wanted to have just a little moment of silence and just to honor those that gave all, that died for our country and believed in a country that is not in this. They fought for a country that is in a state that they would be heartbroken over. And so I just want to lift them up and their families and thank their families, because it's really the families that stay behind that struggle and their comrades that stand behind. And so if it's okay with you, can we just have a little moment of silence for your friends and everybody else?
That would be great. Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you. Since we're on the radio, I just want to say thank you so much, everybody. Please remember everybody this weekend, and don't forget your Border Patrol. They've gone through a lot, and they've got a fearless leader again, and they've got a lot to dig out of. And thank you so much, JJ, for joining us on Whiplash Talk. Please let us know how we can help you, how we can support you. Is there an email or a website that you would like to tell them about real quick?
Sure. You can go to jjcarroll.com and C-A-R-R-E-L-L. jjcarroll.com has all my links and social media on there. Thank you very much.
Perfect. Thank you so much. Okay, BBS Radio, I think we've had it. JJ, stay on and I'll talk to you after we sign off. BBS, thank you so much for helping us with this show today. To all my listeners, I know it was a little bit of a heavy subject, but it's a subject we have to take and we have to embrace, and we have to embrace change. Thank you for all your support. I love you. I love you. I love you. And I will see you in 2 weeks. Thanks so much. Let's take it off. BBS Radio, take it away.